When you're in school and you learn about the concept of an economy, most teachers will lead you down the path of a widget or this idea of a product. In the last 6 months, there have been so many conversations about manufacturing and creating things in America. This is not an American or political conversation, by the way. But the American economy is not driven by manufacturing. There are a massive amount of people employed in America that don't physically make anything. So if you're not making anything, what are you doing? You're performing services, and you're collecting information. And information is becoming an unnatural resource of America. We make a lot of it. A lot of it. And humans learned, to some degree, to control nature, to shape environments to their will, and they're doing the same with information. But what happens when the repository of information that so many companies use to place their sacred data goes down? If you didn't hear, Amazon had an outage last week. There are a lot of people talking about it. I might as well throw my hat in the ring. This week, we're talking about Amazon Web Services. I'm Joey Lombardi, and this is Sourcecast, episode 61. Before we get to our main story, I'm going to share a humorous news item that occurred last week in the technology world. Normally in this section, I cover acquisitions, but we have been through a dry spell the last 2 weeks, and there have been no significant acquisitions in the last 2 weeks. And I know how much you guys want to hear the Girl from Ipanema theme music in the background. Last week, news broke that IBM received a specific patent. I will pause there and provide some background for those of you who do not frequently listen to the podcast. IBM has a reputation for generating a lot of patents. They are typically the number one company in any given year that generates patents. That's usually an interesting statistic at the end of the year. I've mentioned it the last 2 years because it seems to be something that people find intriguing or important. But I'm starting to have second thoughts about that. So some news broke last week that shone a light on the type of patents that IBM typically seeks. This particular patent was for out-of-office email responses. You know, the thing that you've been using for the last 15 years in Microsoft Office or in your Gmail. IBM decided that they were going to seek a patent, and they have been seeking this patent for a while. And the funny thing is that even though this technology exists and is widely used, the U.S. Patent Office decided to actually let them have this patent. It took time, and I'm sure it took patent lawyer money. But as that patent was granted and news made its way out to the public, I'm not going to use the word outrage, because that's not quite it. It was really a tumbling wave of ridicule, because a lot of people are wondering, why would IBM even attempt to patent such a technology that has been used for so long? And also, there have been so many articles over the last 5 or 6 years that have announced the death of email. So why would this company invest time, energy, and resources into the acquisition of a patent on a dying technology in a situation where people have already been using it for the last 15 years? And this has been the gist of most of the criticism and, again, mockery that occurred over the last week. IBM was quick to respond to this criticism and has provided the patent for public use. So, there you have it. IBM is not trying to be a patent troll, probably. On to our main story, Amazon Web Services. As I mentioned in the opening, they had a boo-boo last week, and a lot of people are talking about it. Let's get into the specifics. The particular service that went down last Monday was Amazon's Simple Storage Service. They call it S3. So this is where all the data is being held, and the story going around is that it went down not due to systems failure, but by human error. Let's pause there, and let's get a little bit more background as to where Amazon sits in the market and to why this is such a big issue. Amazon currently owns 57% of the cloud market, and they have maintained a 57% ownership of the cloud market for the last few years. There have been some critics that have called out their lack of growth. However, you have to factor in that the cloud market itself has been growing 20% every year. So Amazon is maintaining and keeping up with the pace of growth and still holding on to their market share. Amazon's cloud competitors like Oracle, Google, and IBM are cannibalizing even the smaller markets. They're not really tapping into Amazon's lead. It's funny, my father and I had a conversation about this weekend. He is not a technology enthusiast by any means. but he keeps tabs on certain things that he may potentially invest in. And he brought up to me, the entire market's expanding, there's room for everyone. I don't know how I feel about that, because I don't know if there will be room for everyone. I think you will start to see competitors start to get pushed out to keep up with the rate of improvement and to maintain cost controls and stability. So to reemphasize, Amazon owns 50% of the market in the cloud space. And as the cloud grows and more companies move to the cloud space, they continue to maintain 57% of that market. And that'll probably grow a little bit for them. So when you take down their storage system, 57% of all companies using cloud services on the internet go down. And then it's also a domino effect, because there may be companies that use the services of other companies that happen to use Amazon. You get my point. According to the analytics firm Cyence, C-Y-E-N-C-E, alternative spellings, the S&P 500 companies alone lost about $280 million from the downtime. I'm very curious to know how they got that number. But to go back to what I said earlier, this four-hour outage was apparently caused by human error. The exact quote from an Amazon spokesperson stated, "Unfortunately, one of the inputs to the command was entered incorrectly, and a larger set of servers were removed than intended." So the backstory is, the poor technician that was involved in this issue was investigating another issue, which was related to poor performance and system slowdown. And the poor guy apparently removed support to the other S3 subsystems. And he basically took down an indexing subsystem, which managed all of the metadata and location information for all of the S3 servers and clusters in the region. Obviously, Amazon is going out and reassuring their customers that processes have been put in place to prevent such an outage from occurring in the future. So here's where my cynical mind is taking me. Was there really one dude who took the entire Virginia, US region of S3 out with a command line? At first, you might think this is an embarrassing thing for Amazon to admit. But then, is it worse to say that your technology had a problem, that your system failed, that this system that you built was having problems because of handling performance or certain customer loads? The message of human error, it's forgivable to a degree. A poor guy, he had a bad day, he took down a cluster. We had no idea, we've never had this situation before. You can forgive that. And maybe that is exactly what happened. Poor guy had a bad day, took the system down, controls are in place, end of story. Or there is some genius PR person that spun this situation and spun this outage in such a way that you're less critical of the technology, because human error can be easily fixed, but systemic system issues is much harder. But honestly, considering Amazon's historical uptime records, it's pretty darn good. They haven't had many outages. If you recall the outage that happened in the summer that quote-unquote took the internet down, that wasn't an Amazon-driven problem, that was a DNS attack. So looking at their uptime, they've had a pretty solid record of performance. Which then, unfortunately, leaves my last theory without a leg to stand on. But it's something to consider. And that's all we have for this week. As a reminder, you can find SourceCast on iTunes, Google Music, and all of your favorite podcasting applications. SourceCast is recorded in bucolic Mantua, New Jersey, and is produced and recorded by me. Music has been provided by Google. Thanks for listening, and we'll be back next week.